Today's shir is Erevin Daf Tzadik Ches, and we're going to begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hoy Kares B'Sefer Al Skupa. If somebody was reading a sefer, a book, on a threshold, and it's important in understanding today's shir that in those times all Sforim were written as a scroll, like our Sefer Torah look. So Hoy Kares B'Sefer Al Skupa. And the sefer rolled out of his hand, he could roll it back to where he is. And the Gemara will discuss exactly where he was sitting, in what type of rishus, and where he's rolling back from. Somebody was sitting on top of a roof, and the sefer rolled out of his hand. So according to Tanakama, if it didn't roll into the bottom 10 tefachim from the ground, which is Rishus Rabim, it did not roll into Rishus Rabim, he could roll it back. However, if he got within 10 tefachim of the ground, that means he got into Rishus Rabim, the halacha is hoifcha al ksav, he has to turn it over. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo emes sulik min aretz el kamach moli machet, even if it's above the ground, size of a needle, just a drop above the ground, he could still roll it back because it did not actually land on the Rishus Rabim. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon is even more makel. He says, "Afilu ba'aretz atzmai, even if it rolled onto the ground, there's still no issue of a deraisa. Why is there no issue of a deraisa? Because he's still holding on to the other hand, other side that's with him on top of the roof. So there's only an issue of it being a drabonon." And since it's only an issue, the Rabbanon, Goyloi Etzloi, the Rabbanon relaxed their Isser, She'en Lecha Davish Mishum Shvus. There is no Isser Shvus. Shvus means something that's an Isser, the Rabbanon. Ibn Kisrei Kodesh, when it comes at the expense of respecting Sfar. Begins the Gemara, like we said, to try to analyze exactly what's where. Hayes Kupa Heichidami. Exactly what is this threshold? Ilema Skupa. Rishus Hayochid, you're going to tell me that the threshold itself is Rishus Hayochid, the Kama, and the area in front of it to which the Sefer rolled is Rishus HaRabim, and the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah, is teaching us that even though he's on a Rishus Hayochid, and the Sefer rolled into a Rishus HaRabim, that he still can roll it back. V'loy Gazrinon, and we're not going to make a Gzeira, that he's going to, if we allow him to roll it back, which is only an Issur Rabbanon, he may even come to take it back when it actually falls out of his hand. And in a case where it actually fell out of his hand, then it will be an Issur D'oraisa of carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah, according to the Gemara, according to Rav Yehuda's explanation, we're going to see, holds that we don't make a gzeira when Kisrei Kodesh are involved. Mani, so who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rav Shimon. It's Rav Shimon. We just learned what Rav Shimon holds at the end of the Mishnah. The Amr called Davishu Mishum Shvus, when the issue is only a Durabonon, the issue here carrying from the Rishus HaRam to Rishus HaYochid, but he's still holding on to the Sefer. So since he's still holding on to the Sefer, it's not called a full transfer. A full transfer is only if it was completely in the Rishus HaRabim. Carrying it then from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid is an Issur D'oraisa. Hence, since here it's not an Issur D'oraisa, it's only an Issur D'rabbanan. And since it's a question of Eina Oimim of Nei Kisrei HaKodesh, we're dealing with Svarim that we don't want to leave hanging, that's why we allow him to roll it back. Continues the Mishnah Gemara. Good. If that's the way you're going to explain the Mishnah, aim a sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said, Rabbi Yehuda Oima filo enem sulik min aretz. Here went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and it's elam molei echot. As long as it's up from the ground, just a drop, galalei etzla. You could pull it back. Rav Shimon Oima, Rav Shimon taught us, it, even afilo baretz atzmai, even if it fell onto the ground, as long as you're holding on to one side, the halach is, you could continue schlepping it back. Kisvei HaKodesh. So how's the Mishnah going to work? Reisha, the way we are now explaining the Mishnah, is that the first din of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon. That's why you're allowed to pull it back. Then the Mishnah comes and teaches us Rav Yehuda Shita, who's more machmer. And he says that if it's actually on the ground, you can't pull it back. And then the Mishnah goes back and repeats Rav Shimon's din. Reish Shiva Sefer Rav Shimon, the beginning and the end of the Mishnah Rav Shimon, Mitziyosai, and then the Mishnah in the middle is Rav Yehuda, which is not generally consistent the way Mishnayos are written. Generally, Mishnayos, if they're going to have the same man the Omer, is first going to mention that man the Omer, that Shita, and then go to the other Shita. And here we seem to be going back and forth. Omer Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says yes. In, that's the way we're going to explain our Mishnah. Reish Shiva Sefer Rav Shimon, the beginning and the end of the Mishnah are going according to Rav Shimon. Mitziyosa, the middle of the Mishnah, is going according to Rav Yehuda. And Ritva explains, because inherent in this Gemara's question is really another question. The Mishnah is saying the same din twice. The Mishnah teaches us the din that if it fell from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, as long as it didn't fall out of your hands, you could pull it back. And then the Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda says, well, if it touches the ground, it's different. And Rav Shimon says, it doesn't bother me if it touches the ground. So why are we saying the same din twice? So Ritva says, the way you're going to have to learn Pshat in the Mishnah is like this. First, the Mishnah tells us Rav Shimon's halacha. Rav Shimon says, as long as there's only a drabonin in question, we could be makel because of Kisvei HaKadosh. That's Rav Shimon's din. Then the Mishnah goes on to elaborate that this, what we just told you as Rav Shimon's din, is not universally accepted. Rather, it's a machlokes tanoim. We have Rabbi Yehuda holding one way, the Tanakam holding another way, and Rabbi Shimon holding another way. But first the Mishnah told us the din, and then the Mishnah elaborated. Rav Amma. Rav has a different way of explaining the Mishnah. Hoch beskupa and address the skin. We're dealing that the area in front of the threshold in which the Sefer fell was an area where Rashi explains where a lot of people walk, and since a lot of people walk there, there's a greater concern for bezoin sefer because so many people are walking there. And mishum zoin kisvei kodesh shor rabbanan. That's why, even though there's an issur rabbanan, Chazal were lenient because we have this concern. Eisbe Abaya asks Abaya, if that's the reason we're makel, because it's bezoin, and wherever there's a bezoin involved, we're more makel. So let's learn a brisa. The brisa says, "Toich balat amis goyloy etzloy." If the sefer only rolled 4 amis or less into the Rishus HaRabim, that's when the halacha is you could schlep it back. However, chutz l'david, if it rolled more than dalat amis into the Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is hoich al aksav. Then you have to turn it over. Ask the Gemara, the amrit. If you're explaining that our Mishnah is talking about a beskupa and address the skinin, that we're dealing with an area that people walk and there's a big concern, a great concern of bezoyin sefer. So mali toich dal amis, mali chutz lab amis. What's the difference if it rolled 4 amis or didn't roll 4 amis? The point is that it rolled, that it's not a deraisa. Why is it not a deraisa? Because you're on the carmelis, you're on the skupa, you're holding on to it. And because of Bezoyin, we should be makel. So what's the difference if it went 4 amos or not? It's always only an issur d'rabbanan. And like Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have asked this question on Rabbi Yehuda's explanation of the Mishnah too. The Rabbi Yehuda said that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who's makel. So why does the Braisa differentiate between if it rolled 4 amos into Rishus HaRabim or not? The reason the Gemara asked the question on Abaya, the Gemara asked the question on Rabbi, is because Rabbi and Abaya were talking. But the question could have been just as well asked on Rabbi Yehuda. Interestingly, the Paiskim use this concept that we're up to now for 2 halachas regarding the situation of Chas V'Sholom, a Sefer Torah falls. That we know that if a Sefer Torah Chas V'Sholom is dropped, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to fast, Ashayla, how many fast? But certainly it's a very serious issue. So one thing they want to say is that let's say it fell that the person was still holding on to one side. It can happen, somebody's doing, let's say, Hagbah, and one side he's still holding on to and the other side dropped. So from our Gemara we see that as long as you're holding on to one side, it's not considered that it completely fell. And many Paiskim, the Rav Shlomo Klugan, the Aleph Hilcha Shloima, Miches Yitzchak, Rav Tzirlson, are all makel that will not be considered a situation that Sefer Torah fell. There are other Paiskim, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Mashag, the Rav Yitzchak Elkanan, they're more machmer, that even if only one part of the Sefer Torah fell, that's considered like if the Sefer Torah fell. Now there's another thing. The Gemara here in the Teres the Rabbi just gave differentiated where it fell. If it fell in a place Beskupa Han addresses, where people walk, there's a greater concern, because that's a bezoyim. So they want to say, the Shomer Tzion Balocha says this, that let's say Chas V'Shalom a Sefer Torah falls, but in the shul where it fell, let's say there's a stage, about a platform where the Aron Kodesh is, and it's not a place where people constantly walk, it's separate. If the Sefer Torah fell there, there may be a reason to be mekel, because we see that the bezoyin is only in a place where it's nedresis, where people constantly walk. So if it's in a place that's not nedresis, it may not be such a bezoyin, and it won't have necessarily the same din. So now Abaye gives a different approach to our Mishnah. Amar Abaye, hokab eskupa kamus eskinen. The eskupa is not, as we explained till now, that the threshold is not a rishus hayochid, rather it's a kamus. Rishus harabim ayveres lefonayo, and in front of this threshold, which is a rishus, which is a kamus, there's a rishus harabim. Toich dalat amus de nafel. So now let's look at worst case scenario. If it fell from the kamus into the rishus harabim, but it's less than dalat amus into the rishus harabim, the nafel maisla. Worst case scenario, you let go of the side that you're holding on to, and now it fell completely into the rishus harabim, and you carried it. What would be the halacha? You still would not be over any deraisa, because you'd be carrying from a Rishus Rabbim to a Karmelis. The Nafel, if it completely fell, Umaisala, and you then carried it from there to where you are, still Loi Asala Dei Chayiv Chattis. You're not coming to Chayiv Chattis, because it's from Rishus Rabbim to Karmelis. So here, that you're holding on to the other side, Shari Le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan allow you to schlep it back. And Taisa says, given this explanation, the Gemara, we won't have to limit it to Kisvei HaKadosh. This hatha will apply to any sefer that rolls from a kamelis to less than 4 amos into Rishus HaRabim, we could be mekel. Other Rishonim say that nobody was discussing in our Gemara anything besides Kisvei HaKadosh. Anything else, we would certainly be machma. Chutz l'Abramis, but let's say rolled more than dalat amos into Rishus HaRabim. That now, if it fell, and you carried it, the Maisala, also the Chayiv Chattis, L'Shar L'Rabbonim. Now there's an issue that you may be over the Rabbon, the Raisa, if you're going to carry those 4 Amos and Rishus Rabbim, which we know carrying 4 Amos and Rishus Rabbim is this a Raisa, that's why Chazal wa Machma. Ask the Gemara, Ihachid Toich Al Ramos Nami. Let's say he fell less than 4 Amos into Rishus Rabbim. Still, Nigza, we should make a Gzeira, Dilma Mayim, Rishus Rabbim, Rishus Yachid. Where are we talking? He's on the threshold. On one side of the threshold is Rishus Rabbim, and the other side of the threshold is Rishus HaYochid. So let's say Taka didn't fall 4 Amos into Rishus Rabbim. But what are we concerned? That he'll drop it. He'll pick it up from the Rishus Rabbim, carry it over the Eskupa into Rishus HaYochid, which is a Deraisa. V'chitema, so what are you going to say? Kiv in the Mafsekas Karmelis, that since you carry it from the Rishus HaRabbim through the Karmelis into the Rishus HaYochid, less Lambo, that's not considered a Deraisa, because it's not direct from Rishus HaRabbim to Rishus HaYochid. Says the Gemara, that's not true, because Ha'omer Rava, Hamaver Chayfetz Mitchilas Arba L'Soif Arba, if somebody carries an item, an object, 4 Amos in Rishus HaRabbim, Vavir Derech Olav, and he carries it above, on, in front of him, Derech Olav means in front of him. Now most people, the front of them is higher than Yud Tfachim, is higher than 40 inches, right? So we're always going to be in a situation, and Rishus Rabbim we know only goes up to 10 Tfachim. So if we're going to say that if you carry something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabbim, or 4 Amos from Rishus HaRabbim, the same din, you don't go straight only in Rishus HaRabbim, you potter. So most situations of carrying the Rishus HaRabbim, you won't be chayiv, because you usually go from Rishus HaRabbim, you pick it up in Rishus HaRabbim, you carry it in front of you, but it's above 10 Tfachim, and then you put it back down in Rishus HaRabbim. Yet he says it's chayiv. So the fact that you're passing it through the Karmelis is not a reason to be potter. Vamarova, Hamava Chayfitz, Mitchilas Arba, L'Soif Arba, Bevir Derech Olav, and you're taking in front of you above the 10 Tfachim, which is not the era of Rishus HaRabbim, he's still Chayiv. So why? Just because you're standing on the Eskupa are you going to allow, if it fell into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, less than four Amos into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and be Mekel, we should be Machmer. We should be concerned that the person is going to carry it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And the fact that it passes through a Kamelist is not a Ptor. Taisus Rosh asks a good question. How do we manufacture Gzeiris? In other words, we've spoken many times that when Chazal had their reasoning, when they had a reason to make a Gzeira, they made a Gzeira. When they hadn't have a reason to make a Gzeira, they didn't make a Gzeira. Here the Gemara is asking that Chazal should have made a Gzeira, which is not usual the way the Gemara asks Kasha. He doesn't say Teretz. Answers the Gemara, you know why we don't have to worry about it here? That we're talking about a long Eskupa, that while the person is carrying it from the Shusha Rabbim, and you're concerned he's going to carry it into the Shusha Yochid, but since he has to walk through this long threshold, he'll remember. It's not a long threshold. However, when a person picks up a sefer, he looks into it. He doesn't just take it and carry it. He looks into it. So what's going to happen? He's going to pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, look at it on the Kamelus. So it's not just that he's carrying it. He stopped. So it's from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Kamelus. Then he'll look into the sefer, and then he'll carry it from the Kamelus to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So there's no chiv deraisa. Ask the Gemara, who tells you he's going to look at it that way? V'leichish, why are we concerned? Dilma ma'ayim bab Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He won't look at it only when he gets to the Kamelus. As soon as he picks it up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he'll look at it. He'll look at whatever he wants to look. And then he'll carry it directly from there through the Kamelus into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. V'ayle b'hedjil Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Says the Gemara, ha mani ben azayi. We're going according to ben azayi. Ben azayi shita mesechta Shabbos, the beginning of the mesechta, dam mahalach ka'im adami. That every step a person takes is a new step. So what's going to happen? He's going to pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He'll take a step in the Kamelus, the Eskupa, that's already considered a step. Then he's going to continue walking and walk into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So it's considered he went from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Kamelus, Kamelus to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. We don't have a deraisa. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma Zarek Lu Mizrak, why are we concerned that he's not going to just carry it? He may throw it directly from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Dom Rav Yochanan, Maida ben Azai ben Zoyrik. Even though ben Azai says that every step a person takes is considered a stop and a start, throwing he agrees to. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Acha bar Hava, Zoy Samaris Ein Mezakin Kisei Kodesh. We're not worried that anybody's going to throw a sefer. To say that you're going to throw a sefer from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that I don't have to worry about. And in fact, this is the makar that you're not allowed to throw a sefer. There's a very interesting shaila in the Shalos HaTshuva Simur Yosha from Ramei Arik. He says, let's say somebody has to send a Sefer Torah. Very common shaila. Somebody who had a Sefer Torah written in Israel and doesn't have anybody to bring it back. So could he send it in the mail? They throw around the mail. Are you allowed to send the Sefer Torah in the mail? So he says, even though the Gemara says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody has a Sefer Torah with him and he's riding on a donkey, so the Gemara says he shouldn't just put the Sefer Torah on a sack on the donkey, he should carry the Sefer Torah. So he says, that Gemara, that din is talking about where you're with the Sefer Torah. So the halach is, it's not covered for the Sefer Torah just to put it into a bag. However, here we're dealing with a situation where you're not with the Sefer Torah, and that's not called a mezak and kisvei kodesh. It's not called throwing around kisvei kodesh, and you're allowed to send it with the mail. He says, however, you should be careful to package it as properly and as carefully as possible. One more shaila. The Gemara here says that if you carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim through a Kamelus, then you're potter. However, if you're chayiv, that's called carry, unless you stop in the Kamelus. This shaila, the Shaila Sechuvas Petzela Chokma, says is relevant to people who, let's say, on Shabbos carry their keys as a tie pin, or women have it as a pin. So they what they do is they carry it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So now the question is, they put it into the key. So how can they put it into the key? They're carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So he says usually the area in front of the area in front of the door is a Kamelus. So you're going from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Kamelus to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, which we said if you stop is fine. And he says even if your door is right by the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it'll also be fine. Because where do you put the key? Usually a keyhole is above 40 inches from the floor. So now you're stopping, and you're stopping with the key above 40 inches. So anywhere above 40 inches is a makom patur. So you went from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to makom patur, and then from makom patur to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and that's why you could wear and use these pins. Says the Mishnah, Hayakar Baray Shagag, if somebody, the Mishnah says, was reading a Sefer Torah, a Sefer on the roof, and then it rolled out, you should turn it over. Ask the Gemara, Omishari, is a mutter to do that? Vatanya Kaisve Svarim, Tfilin Mezuzos, people who write Sefer Torah, Tfilin Mezuzos, Loy Tir Lahem, Lahapa Chiria Paleha. It's not their cheretz to take a Sefer and just turn it over upside down when you're not learning or writing. El Paris Ala Beget, you have to put something on top of it. So why is our Mishnah asked the Gemara say that it's adequate just to turn it over? You should have to put something on top of it. Hosam Efsher, Hochalay Efsher. So the way Rashi explains is like this. Where you have something to turn, to put on safe, top of the Sefer, of course you're supposed to. Here you have nothing. And Tosfos says, deeper pshat. Here says, not only don't you have anything, even if you had something, you couldn't carry it. Because we're talking about carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Carmelist or to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So here you don't have an option. So since you have no option, v'loy apich, if you're going to leave it the way it is, revealed, it could be Zoyin, Kisei Kodesh Tvei, there's greater embarrassment, that's why we tell you to turn it over. And this is the Makar, why you're not allowed to leave a Sefer open. The only two Atayim I found to leave a Sefer open is either the Pesach Tshuva quotes a Chamudi Daniel that says that if you're leaving a Sefer open because you want it to get fresh air, it shouldn't get moldy, or Darach HaShulchan said if somebody leaves a Sefer open just for a short time, that's also a right. The Shach says there is a Shade whose name is Shade, Shin Dalad. He stands for Shomer Dafim. That's what that Shade stands for. That particularly affects people who leave Svarim open. You always have to be careful to leave a Sefer. That if you're not going to learn from a Sefer, you should close it or put something on top of it, as the Gemara says, if you have no other option. But the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the Shas Tshuva Silmas Chaim says you have to be careful what you use to put on top of a Sefer, because you can't use, for example, Chumash to put on top of a Gemara. There's a very interesting Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, and says in Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody is walking in a cemetery, he should be careful not to let his Sforim, not to let his Tzitzis drag on the ground. Ask the Magen Avraham, what does it have to do with a cemetery? Even without a cemetery, Al Gemara says you have an issue of bezoyin, that you have to treat Tashmishei Kedusha with respect. So the Magen Avraham says like this. Al Gemara said that with Tzloy Efsher, where you have no option, then you could perhaps be Mekel. So let's say somebody has a talus, so he has tzitzis, that there's no way to avoid them from dragging on the ground. So according to Al Gemara, baby mutter. But in the cemetery, there's another issue. In the cemetery, there's the issue of loig l'rash, that you're wearing tzitzis, and the people buried there can no longer wear tzitzis. That there's no heteron ever. So we said, hoifchay al ksav, that if it rolled out of your hand, the Tanakhama said you should just turn it over. Ask the Gemara, v'holay noch, it never came to rest in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So if I'm holding it, as the Mishnah explained, and it never came to rest in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, why can't I just take it back? Amar Rava, so Rava answers, because of the that our Mishnah is talking about a wall that's on a slant, and Tosfos explains in Masechet Shabbos that since this wall is on a slant, it's very accessible to the people of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore it's considered like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore it's considered like it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and that's why you can't bring it back. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says to Rava, but my Kimtel Masnisen, how do you explain our Mishnah? The Kaisa Mashupa, that it's the wall is a slanty wall that has the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Eim Masefa, let's continue the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said the next words, Afilu Eina Masulik Min Oretz El Malei Chot, even if it's off the ground, just a drop, Golaloy Atzloy, you're allowed to schlep it back. Ask the Gemara, V'hanoch, it's not on the, it's not off the ground. We said it just hit the wall, and if it hit the wall, it's considered like it's noch, not like it's off the ground. Answers the Gemara, Chsurim Echvachtani. The way you have to explain our Mishnah is like this: the Medvar Mamurim. when is the halacha that you can't take the sefer back? You have to just turn it over because the mashupa when the wall is on a slant. Because if the wall is on a slant, it's like it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah. And if it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah, then even though you're still holding on to the other side, we don't allow you to take it from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because we're concerned that the next time it may completely be out of your hand, and you'll still take it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which is Issa Deraisa. Aval because the Shein Meshuba, if the wall is not slanty, so now it did not come to rest in Rosh Hashanah. Lamal Meshloisha, if it's above 3 tefachim from the ground, so it's not considered that it came to rest in the Rosh Hashanah. Goyloy Atzloy, you could schlep it back. Lamat Meshloisha, but if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So we learned many times that anything that's within 3 tefachim of something else, we say the concept of lovet, then hoifchal ksav. So it's as if it came to rest already in Rosh Hashanah, and then you have to turn it off. Rabbi Hudaimer, this is all we add into the Mishnah. And the Masoris Hashas tells us to take out the two dots, because the Gemara is just continuing. The Gemara is explaining the Mishnah. Tanakhama says like this. If it's, let's just review. If it's a slanty wall, everybody agrees that you have to just turn it over and leave it. If it's not a slanty wall, the Tanakhama differentiates between if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground or above 3 tefachim of the ground. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, a few animals soak men aretz, even if it's off the ground, just the drop, it's not considered as if it's resting in Rosh Hashanah. And since it's not considered as if it's resting in Rosh Hashanah, you could schlep it back up. Ask the Gemara. Why? Because according to Yehuda, obviously, be'in and hanocha gavamashu. It has to actually come to rest on top of something. And if it's off the ground, even if it's off the ground, just a drop, it hasn't come to rest. Fine. Ask the Gemara, alahada merava, a Gemara masech to Shabbos, toich shloisha l'rabbanan tzorach hanocha. We have over there a Gemara, where the Gemara says like this, according to Bekiva, klut kamisha huncha. What does klut kamisha huncha mean? That something traveling over Rosh Hashanah is as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah. The Rabbanon disagree with Bekiva. Now we're going to say, comes along Rava, and Rava says that even though the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Kiva, and they say that just because it's traveling through Rosh Hashanah does not mean that it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah, but it was within 3 tefachim of Rosh Hashanah, then the Rabbanon say it as if it came to rest in Rosh Hashanah. Now that we say, the way we're explaining our Mishnah, that actually is a machlokes tanoim. The Tanakhama taka holds there's a difference if it's between 3 tefachim or not. Rabbi Yehuda says that it actually has to rest on the ground. Dama Rava, Toshloi Shal Rabbanon, Tzorach Hanocha, that according to Rabbanon it still has to actually come to rest. So that's only Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Lema Ketanoi Amr L'Shmatze, and only he's saying according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the way we explain the Mishnah now, who's the Rabbanon, say that you don't have to have it actually on the ground. Even if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's considered it came to rest. And what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is, comes out that Rav's Psak is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Kula, you have to, again, the Gemara is going to reconstruct the Mishnah. Kula Rabbi Yehuda, the entire Mishnah represents Rabbi Yehuda Shita. There is no machlokes in our Mishnah. This is why we have to explain the Mishnah. When is the halacha you're not allowed to schlep the sefer back because of mashupa if the wall is slanted? Because if the wall is slanted, as we explained earlier, it has the status of Rosh Hashanah. Ava because of shadim mashupa, if the wall is not slanted, afilu pachz mishloish tefachim, even if the scroll rolled down within 3 tefachim of the ground, within 3 tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah, still go loyesloi. You could still schlep it back. Why? Rabbi Yehuda Eimer afilu einem asulik min aretz elam alachut. Rabbi Yehuda holds, and everybody holds, there's no machlokes, that even if it doesn't hit the ground, go loyesloi. My tama, the benina hanocha gavamashu. We did it should actually come to rest, and if it doesn't come to rest, even if it's just a millimeter off the ground, it's not considered that it rested in Rosh Hashanah, and you could schlep it back up to Rosh Hashanah. It's very interesting. Machlokes Rishonim, because according to this Gemara, something is not considered to have come to rest in Rosh Hashanah unless it's exactly on in the Rosh, exactly touching the Rosh Hashanah, as our Gemara says. There's no machlokes. If you look in the Gemara Masech Shabbos, it seems that the Gemara's maskana is that within three tefachim, it is considered that it landed in Rishus Rabbim. So we have a machloikas Masech Shabbos and Masech Erevin. So which way should we paskin? Should we paskin like Masech Shabbos, or should we paskin like Masech Erevin? Most Rishonim paskin like Masech Erevin, that to be considered that it landed in Rishus Rabbim, it actually has to touch the Rishus Rabbim. The Gra paskins like Masech Shabbos. He says that if it comes within three tefachim of the ground, it's already considered a land in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah, Zish Shalafnei Chaloyim, if you have a windowsill in front of your window, Noistan Alav, the Noitlim Menu, B'Shabbos. You could take items from the house and put it on and take them back on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Haizis the Mapik Lahecha. Exactly to where is this windowsill facing? If your windowsill faces the Rosh Hashanah, why should I allow you to put things on the windowsill? We should be concerned maybe if you'll put something on the windowsill, it'll fall off the windowsill. So the way you have to learn the Gemara is like this. If you put something on the windowsill and then it falls off, you didn't do anything wrong. Because when you put it on the windowsill is the Rosh Hashanah. What are we worried about? You're going to put something on your windowsill, and then it's going to fall off, as it may, and now it's down on the ground in Rosh Hashanah, and we should be concerned that you're going to go down to Rosh Hashanah and carry it up to your home, which is from Chiv Daraisa, of carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Ella, where is the windowsill facing? Rosh Hashanah. It's facing Rosh Hashanah. Ask the Gemara, that's obvious. If you're in the Rosh Hashanah, and your windowsill is facing Rosh Hashanah, so what's the worst case that could be? It'll fall? So it'll fall. You're carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. There's nothing wrong with that. It is facing Rosh Hashanah. We just said that if it's facing Rosh Hashanah, why aren't we concerned that it's going to fall? And if you're going to fall, you're going to come to carry it up to your Rosh Hashanah? Or my nice and lovely Tani, what kind of items are we discussing in the Mishnah that you're allowed to put on the windowsills? Kelim and Nishbarim, things that will break. So what are we worried? That you're going to put it on the windowsill, and then it's going to fall into Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to carry it up? You have nothing to worry about. By the time it fell on Rosh Hashanah, it will break. There's nothing to be left to carry up. It says the Gemara Taka, Tanya Nami Hochi, there's a Bryce that learns this way, Zish Shalafnei Achaloin, a windowsill, Hayoytzel Rosh Hashanah, it's facing Rosh Hashanah, Noisel of Karois, Fakoises, Kitonis, Tzluchis, these all types of earthenware utensils, or Mishtamish Bekol HaKoisel, and you could use the entire wall, Adas Tzora HaTachtoinim, until the bottom 10 Tfachim. Why until the bottom 10 Tfachim? Because as we explained earlier in today's shiur, Rosh Hashanah goes up till 10 Tfachim. So anything above 10 Tfachim is either Rosh Hashanah or Makom Ptur. And that's why you could use that area outside your window. Vim Yeziz Achad Lamat Mimena. If beside the windowsill that's outside your window, you have a windowsill below that windowsill, Mishtamishboy, you could use that hole windowsill, ube elyon, and the upper windowsill, en mishtamish el kneged chaloinai. You could only use next to your window. Ask the Gemara to describe what is this ziz that we're talking about. Hai ziz heichidami. This upper windowsill, that we're only allowing you to use the windowsill that's right outside your window. Exactly what are its dimensions, what is it all about? If that windowsill is less than 4 tefachim, makom ptur hu. It's a makom ptur. I shouldn't be allowed you to put anything on it. Why? So Rashi explains, if you have such a small windowsill that it's less than 4 tefachim, the likelihood of anything you're putting on it falling down is very serious. It's very substantial. So it's a small windowsill. So what did we say earlier? We said earlier that if you put something on your windowsill and then it falls off into Rosh Hashanah below, you didn't do anything wrong. You put it on the windowsill. Says Rashi, that can only be said when you have a decent-sized windowsill. So there, it could have remained Shabbos. Something happened and it fell. It's not your fault. But if you put something on a windowsill, which is so small that it's obvious it's going to fall, you can't say I didn't do anything wrong. It's certainly going to fall. V'ispei arba, if the windowsill has arba, b'kulei akoyis l'shtamish, so then any windowsill we're saying that is four tfachim, you'll have to put items on it, because we said it's not a problem, especially if you put items that are breakable. Amar Abaye, tachton the ispei arba, the situation here is that the lower windowsill, taka has four tfachim, the elyon left by arba, the upper windowsill, it itself doesn't have four tfachim. However, the chaloyin mashlimosel dalid, if you combine the area of the window with the small windowsill, you'll have dal tfachim. What? Right. So it has to be open, because otherwise you can't get the item out anyway. Keneged chaloyin mishtamish. So next to the window, you could use the chari chalonu. It's considered extension of the window. And now it's one big rishus hayochid. The high geese on the other sides of the window, where they can't be considered an extension of the window, usher, you can't use that area, because it doesn't have the right amount. Now, Taisa says that Al Gemara spoke about a situation like this. The Gemara gave us two options at the beginning of this piece of Gemara. Either the windowsill is facing rishus rabim, and the only reason I'm allowed to put items on the windowsill is we're talking about items that are easily breakable, so I'm not worried that if they fall, I'm going to carry them up. Or it's facing Rosh Hashanah. If it's facing Rosh Hashanah, it's certainly no Shaila, because even if it falls, worst case scenario, I'm going to carry it up. I'm carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Ask Tosfos, what's going to be the halacha if it's facing a Karmelis? What should it then be? So Tosfos says, we can be Mekel. Because, again, if it falls by itself, then there's nothing wrong. What are we worried about? That it may fall from where it is to the Carmelis, and then you're going to come and carry it from the Carmelis back to your house. That'll be an example, says Tosfos, of a gzeira l'gzeira. Carrying from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid is only the Rabbanan. Now we're making a gzeira on top of it that you may forget and come to carry from a Karmelis to Rishus HaYochid. A gzeira l'gzeira we don't make, and then the halacha would be we could be makel. The only time we have to be machmer is facing Rishus HaRabbanan.